This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second hour for us on this Thursday afternoon. He's kind enough to join us on a weekly basis, and Dr. Michael Osterholm is with us. Always a pleasure, sir. A bevy of items for you. Let's start with the CDC and the masking issue. This has been out there for a couple weeks now, and I know you've talked about it before, but I want to address it again. So I see a headline, CDC urges double masking to increase protection. Then I read the story, and it's Dr. Walensky, who's now in charge of the CDC, and part of what she's saying is she's pleading with Americans to wear a well-fitting mask. The quote continues, with cases, hospitalizations, and deaths still very high, now is not the time to roll back mask requirements. The bottom line is this. Masks work, and they work with it when they have a good fit and are worn correctly. I know when the double masks item first started coming up a couple weeks ago, you had some hesitation about it. Where is the CDC on this, and where are you at on this?
Well, first of all, I congratulate the CDC. I think this was a good thing to put out. I think the clarification is really important here. Again, it comes back, and as they illustrated, it's all about fit, how well does it fit, and how well does it filter. So my initial response to when it was just double mask is, you know, two times nothing is nothing. And so what you need are masks that are effective and that work, and that just fit filtration's there. And so what they did is they did experiments where they did use the kind of masking material that we would say you can get more protection out of two. But my concern was initially it was just, you know, if this is good, then a little bit more is better. And in some cases, we actually see certain kinds of materials actually making the masking worse, meaning that it doesn't fit as well, or the filtration is such that it's so thick that basically you can't breathe and you don't use it. You know, I could put cellophane in front of your face and prevent the virus from getting in, but you'd suffocate within minutes. And so that's my whole point, was to clarify and provide instructions to the public how to use masks. What are the materials? What do we mean by fit? What do we mean by filtration? And that is the important part of it, that I think we still need to help educate the public. And finally, you know, in our own work at SIDRAP, you know, we went on new shows and evaluated in screenshots how many people had on masks, and of those, how did they wear them? 25.6% of the people wore the mask under their nose. It was nothing more than a diaper chin type thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And so to me, that also is something we've not done to educate the public, is if you're going to use a mask, which you should, and to use it successfully in reducing your risk, you got to wear it over your nose, too. You don't want to just have a chin diaper on and that's it. So I think that's what this is really all about, and that's what Rochelle is really trying to promote here, is responsible, effective mask use. And the final point I just make is this has been a disappointment to me, surely. Over the course of the last year, we've tried working with groups to bring forward better masking materials, meaning, you know, N95 respirator-like materials to the public. So today, these tight face-fitting respirator-type masks that we're talking about are really, we need them for healthcare workers. But we should have had much more in the way of opportunity for the public to buy the kind of masks that would be most protective, and we still don't have those on the market.
Okay, so let's expand on that, because when those of us who are laymen in this area started to learn more about the pandemic, I mean, you came on with me in December of 2019 when this was in China, and we first started talking about it, and you've been kind to me ever since. We started talking about N95 masks, and I get it. We can't just, you know, snap our fingers, and all of a sudden we have hundreds of millions of N95 masks. But should more of those be available now at this point, Mike? I mean, we're approaching the middle of February.
This is exactly what should have happened. And, you know, and this is, I'm not just an armchair quarterback now. I'm not just a complainer late. I've been talking about this all year. I've written about it. I've spoken about it. We need much better respiratory protecting devices, and we need to educate the public how to use them and when to use them. That's the point that I think people understand, and that's also why I always put into context the idea right now of distancing. I mean, a very interesting point, you know, and I think we are all looking at this carefully, but one of the major health departments in Canada just made an administrative decision yesterday that they're now redefining what constitutes contact of concern with patients who have this new B.1.1.7 variant, the UK variant we talked about. And they had evidence that people who had less than 1 minute same room contact time with these individuals got infected. Now, you know what? A mask, even an N95 respirator, surely offers protection. The N95 by far the best. But if I had on a regular mask, I would have more protection. But if we see much more highly infectious individuals out there, even masks, again, will only provide some limited protection against an experience like that. That's where distancing still comes in. Wear your mask. Absolutely important, critical. But understand that distancing is most important, and the kind of mask you wear. You know, like I said earlier, and I say this with a smirk, but, you know, you can put cellophane over your face, and I promise you, you won't get viral infection. Might go in your eye, but not from breathing it in. But look how practical that is. So we need these new and better respiratory protection devices for the public, and unfortunately, they're lacking yet. We didn't invest in those, and we could have and should have over the last year.
Dr. Fauci today on the Today Show says this: by the time we get to April, it will be open season, namely virtually everybody and anybody in any category could start to get vaccinated. We're at a number now, Mike. We're approaching 35 million. So we're past 10% of the population have been vaccinated. But we still have story after story after story where people want them, where cities are short, where states are short. April's not that far away. Are you with Dr. Fauci on this optimism?
Well, let me just give you some numbers. I covered this in my new podcast today. You're right. Actually, as of Monday, CDC reported 32 million people had received one or more doses. 10 million of those 32 had received two doses. That means right now there are 22 million people in this country waiting for their second dose. They're in a 3 to 4 week period. Many of them are coming due now. If you look at the fact we're providing 1.7 million doses a day right now on average, if for the next 13 days we didn't use another drop for first doses, just second doses, that's how long it would take to vaccinate these 22 million with their second dose. That's why places like LA today or earlier in the week announced that they're only going to give second doses this week. We are way behind on trying to protect the public with this two-dose approach. More specifically, if you look at this, and what my big concern continues to be is protecting those over 65 years of age. That's where 80% of the deaths occur. And that's what we have continued to see be the highest risk group for getting infected, serious illness, and dying. And when this new B.1.1.7 surge occurs between now and likely the end of March, if you look at only half of all the vaccines going into people 50 or 65 years of age and older, and if you look at the doses available roughly from the end of February, because that's what it's going to take to get one dose or two doses in everyone, and you looked at the 1.7 million new doses a day. If you play that out, do the numbers, by the end of March, still only 20 million out of the 54 million people 65 years of age and older will have had access to vaccine. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, these optimistic views, we have to be very careful because, you know what, these are the same 34 million people 65 years of age and older that are not going to have a vaccine until the end of March. They're going to be in the bullseye of this new big upturn in cases that's going to start occurring in the next several weeks. So I'm not as optimistic. You know, I care about what's going to be like next summer, and I look forward to more vaccine. I think we have a crisis on our hands right now, between now and the end of March. And the vaccine needs of what we have are not going to meet that. And so something's got to give here. And, you know, I don't want to suggest that not, you know, being positive about the vaccines is what we need to do. No, we need to be positive. We also have to be realistic about what can these vaccines do. There are many Minnesotans right now who are 65 years of age and older who will not get a dose of vaccine in their arm before the end of March. And yet they're going to go through this incredibly tough time in the weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm. Two last points, and I'll let you go. Mike Osterholm is with us. Great information, as always. The Johnson & Johnson CEO suggested yesterday that people may need an annual COVID vaccine shot for the next several years. Actually, said it Tuesday. I apologize. Do you agree with that?
I think that's a real possibility. And that, too, is a challenge because, again, we have to take care of the world. And why do we have to take care of the world is not just being humanitarian or altruistic, although I'd hope that would be a motivation. It's because wherever this virus is being transmitted readily among people in, like, middle and low-income countries, that's where the variants are going to spin off. That's where these new viruses that have mutated are going to keep coming back at us. And so one of the areas we're really concerned about, will these mutants continue to allow viruses to escape the immune protection of either natural infection or vaccine, meaning will vaccines have a greatly reduced capability of protecting us if we keep seeing these mutated viruses? Well, if we don't take care of the low and middle income countries, that's where it's going to come from. And so that's a strategic issue. But let me just put that into context, what that's going to mean. Every year for adults, we want them to get vaccinated for influenza. You know what we do here in this country.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Every year, no more than 7% of the world's population has access to flu vaccine. 7%. That's what it takes to basically have an international program of trying to vaccinate 8 billion people every year. So my concern is, what are we doing to plan for that? Because right now, we don't have plans in place that could actually accomplish that. And we sure think about our booster dose here in the United States or other high-income countries, and I get that. But as I've just pointed out, if that virus is running unchecked in low- and middle-income countries, we will constantly be under pressure to have those viruses get around the protective vaccines we have. And people just haven't thought through that yet. Again, another challenge we've got to address.
Lancet Commission stated that roughly 40% of the USA's coronavirus deaths could have prevented if the previous administration had not been involved in inept and an insufficient response to COVID-19. Is that a fair estimate in your opinion?
You know, I can't comment on that because I don't know how they came up with those numbers. You know, we can come up with all kinds of numbers, and we will go back and do some, you know, look backs to understand what we could do better. You know, and there were many mistakes made in the past year with COVID. Absolutely no question about it. You've heard me comment on it many times, lack of a national plan. Why don't we have better masks right now? All these things. Why don't we have surveillance for these new mutant viruses in terms of sequencing, all these things? But I also would say, if you look at a lot of other countries around the world, including comparable countries in Europe, they're seeing the same problems we are. So I think the world has to go back and do a postmortem. That'll be very important because this is not going to be the last of these viruses to spin out of the animal population into humans. And so I just, at this point, just stick with the facts. And what do we know and not know, and how did it happen, and whether it's blame or not, we'll have plenty of time to look at everybody for blame. But first, we got to get the facts down.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you
very
much.
Be safe. We'll talk next week.
Take care. Thanks, Chad. Bye.
Dr. Michael Osterholm. We are so fortunate to have him here at News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.